1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. Your news.
ABC News, I'm Alex Perez. Voters are casting ballots in state and local races. In Virginia, all state House and Senate seats are up for grabs. And in Ohio, voters will decide abortion access in the state and whether to legalize recreational marijuana. ABC's Alex Prochet is in Columbus.
There's been a steady stream here. Folks are going to be coming in basically until 7:30 p.m. The attendance here is already outpacing that August special election. And, you know, we've seen airwaves inundated leading up to this November election, specifically on issue one, constitutional amendment that would codify abortion rights.
It's been 1 month since the Hamas attacks. Israel marking the somber day with a moment of silence and remembrances. In Gaza, fierce fighting continues. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu telling ABC's David Muir in an exclusive interview that there will be no ceasefire until all the hostages are released. This is ABC News.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly lawmakers take up several bills this afternoon dealing with higher education. One would require existing grant programs to give financial aid to disadvantaged students instead of students of color. Other bills would guarantee Wisconsin students who graduate in the top 10% of their class admission to most UW schools, and those who finish in the top 5% would be guaranteed admission to UW-Madison. Meanwhile, the state Senate passed several proposed constitutional amendments today. They include barring government officials from closing houses of worship during public emergencies and requiring a photo ID to vote. Passing amendments instead of bills is a way for Republicans to get around Governor Evers and the new liberal Supreme Court. Amendments still have to pass two sessions of the legislature and go to a statewide referendum. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The identities of the two Duluth men charged with selling drugs have been released. 21-year-old Terrence Lampley and 24-year-old Anthony Bradley were arrested last Thursday after the Duluth Police Department Special Investigations Unit and Lake Superior Violent Offender Task Force executed search warrants at their homes. Law enforcement officials say they found 770 fentanyl pills, a loaded pistol, high-capacity magazines, ammunition, and nearly $40,000 in alleged drug sale proceeds. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin Assembly would provide free breakfast and lunch for all Wisconsin students, with the schools receiving state reimbursements for the breakfasts and lunches they serve. Proponents of the bill believe it will ensure every student in the state has access to healthy food so they can shift their focus to their schoolwork and reach their fullest potential. The state previously provided free school meals during the COVID-19 pandemic using federal relief funding. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Brewers owner not happy with Craig Counsell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell deciding to accept an offer to become the manager of the Chicago Cubs, paying Counsell $8 million a year, making him the highest paid manager in baseball history. Now, Brewers owner Mark Antanasio let reporters know he was disappointed, saying, quote, Craig has lost us and our community. The next time Craig Counsell will be in AmFam Field is next May when the Cubs come to town to play the Brewers. NBA, the Bucks picked up a win in Brooklyn, beating the Nets 129-125. Giannis Antetokounmpo leading Milwaukee with 36 points and 12 rebounds. Men's college basketball, the Badgers beating Arkansas State 105-76 at the Kohl Center. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
I think defensively we got better at the start of the second half. It's not helpful when you got your more experienced guys on the bench in foul trouble, but I thought our guys off the bench gave us a great boost. We've thought that depth would help us, and here we are in game one, and it already showed.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clement.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 43. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight. Scattered rain showers likely, 37. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 42.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along for hour number 2 of the big show. Hour 2, you say? Yes. If you have not heard, we have moved time slots. We are now on noon until 2, Monday through Friday. And then following us directly is a new two-hour expanded edition of Matt Flynn Direct with our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn. You can hear us each and every afternoon, noon until 2 for our show, and then 2 until 4 for Matt Flynn Direct. Looking forward to, I'm sure, Matt Flynn following history in the making, as they say, Mr. Summers.
The phone lines are open. All callers are welcome. No topic is off limits.
Absolutely. This is the magic about Matt Flynn, is that you know it. He won't like this, by the way, but it's very similar to why I used to watch The Apprentice with Trump.
He's not going to like that comparison.
He won't like that, but it's true, because the magic, and don't get me wrong, I am not a Trumpster. I'm vehemently opposed to Trump, the person and the president, but I cannot deny that when he had The Apprentice, and it probably wasn't even his idea, it was the producer, right? But it's always the producer, right, Mr. Summers? But the magic to that show was it was a formulatic show. In other words, there was a formula. Trump would come on, he'd say, this is the task, you're going to divide up into two groups, we're going to have me and a couple other people judge it, and at the end, there'll be a winner and a loser, and the losing team will go to the boardroom where somebody will get fired. And then somebody got fired. Simplistic, but it worked. Matt Flynn Direct is very much the same way. You know exactly what you're in for each and every show. Phone lines are open. All callers welcome. Fascism creeps in a little cat's feet. And away we go. And taking you to the front lines of history being made every minute of every day.
And as Tony comments on YouTube, remember, you aren't woke if you don't know history. And listen until you know history.
That's right.
Going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it was made last night.
Bada bing, bada boom. And I love I'm not making this up, by the way. People who know me know that I am the unofficial president of the Matt Flynn fan club. So I love listening. I don't always get to listen. Unfortunately, I have other things I have to do. I actually have to work on our show. But whenever I can, I tune in and I love listening.
I would say most days, or at least like half of days, as soon as the show is over, Todd, make sure to get the Civic Media app up and running. Yes. And get his earbuds in so that
I do.
As soon as Matt Flynn Direct starts, he's ready.
It makes me happy. It makes me happy to hear Matt Flynn's voice. And honestly, I mean, for some people, you're going to say that sounds goofy. For people who know me, like Mr. Zommers, it's the truth. It makes me happy.
Some sounds are just good.
Exactly. So join Matt Flynn today, each and every afternoon, 2 until 4, the new big expanded edition of Matt Flynn Direct, immediately following. our show. Appreciate the caller's last segment. Appreciate Mr. Luke Mathers in with us on Tuesday Tangents with Luke, talking about this Craig Council thing. Coming up this hour, this is a great one, by the way. We have an all-new question for you on what's worse. So we're going to have a what's worse a little bit later on this hour. Call in about that. Also, actual predictions that went bust. Things that people predicted would come true, and then they just went bust. And we'll tell you some of these crazy things and see what you think. So
I mean, there's a lot of those for sure.
Right? Predictions that went bust.
Like the world ending in 2012.
That did not
or
happen.
2000.
In 2000.
Or any number of other times.
I was around for Y2K.
Technically,
a big
I was too.
people went. They were hoarding food and water, and then 2000 came, and it was no big deal. Everything was calm. The best part about that whole thing was ABC, under the guidance of the late great Peter Jennings at the anchor desk. They did. I think somewhere I have it on DVD. But Peter Jennings and ABC did a whole thing that year. They started in the morning. I believe in New Zealand or Australia, and they went literally around the world as the clocks moved, as each and every time zone and country flipped over to the new millennium, the 2000.
That takes some planning.
It was one of the greatest broadcasting moments I've ever witnessed, because it started early in the morning and it went through until whatever, 3 a.m. our time. And it was astounding, because I think one of the reporters was like out in a desert in Africa with a bunch of nomads and camels. And they're just sitting there. And they're like, this is it. This is the new year.
Now it's 2000.
Yeah. And it was a juxtaposition. I think, of course, Barbara Walters was in Paris. I remember that. And where other countries where they're having these huge celebrations. And it was just a great moment to show that whatever we're doing in our little world, there's a whole other world out there. And the things that we think are so important to us in a particular moment can mean almost nothing to people around the world.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And it was a great, if you ever get a chance to, I suppose it's probably able to zoom it on Hulu or Disney or something like that. But yeah, the whole 2000 New Year's Eve on ABC News with Peter Jennings and the whole crew was a great moment in broadcast history. I'm not sure whether one of those broadcast history moments are going to be made today at our show, but we are going to talk about a big name coming to Milwaukee a little bit later in the show. One of my all-time favorite artists going to be here as well. And also what's happening, a new bill in the Wisconsin State Legislature. Of all the things they could introduce, a chicken in every yard. Have you heard about this?
No. I mean, well, yes, because I heard you mention it earlier, but it doesn't sound any less strange having heard it one time before now.
Yes, it's an actual bill, a chicken in every yard. Also following breaking news today, apparently, according to our sources, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is going to be a very interesting Thanksgiving, as it's being reported that the Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear this gerrymandering case on the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, on Tuesday, November 21st. So they're wasting no time on this. They're going to get rolling, because in order to have the new maps in place, assuming that the Wisconsin Supreme Court finds the current maps illegal according to the Constitution, which I maintain they are, they have to get a ruling and then get new maps drawn in order to meet deadlines that are right after the first of the year in order to get, nomination papers and all that sort of thing. And the big question is going to be whether they find all the maps unconstitutional or just part of them. Because if they find all the maps unconstitutional, what may result is that each and every seat in the legislature is going to have to be up for re-election or election, which would mean the entire state Senate, all 33, not half, because what happens, the state Senate terms are for 4 years, the assembly are two. So every other year, the entire 99 assembly seats stand for re-election. Where in the state Senate, 33 state senators overall, and then every other year, you have either the odd or the even number of districts up for election. But this year, coming up in 2024, if the state Supreme Court finds all the maps unconstitutional, they could say that we're going to redraw all the state legislative maps and the congressional maps, and everybody is going to have to stand for re-election in 2024. What do you think about that? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Are you happy the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, is moving quickly on this? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Would love to hear your thoughts on that. I'm happy that they are. They're not dilly-dallying around. And again, this is one we talked with Luke Mathers last hour. One of the big issues in the Supreme Court race earlier this year for now Justice Janet Protasiewicz was a woman's right to choose for health care, abortion. The other big issue was gerrymandered maps. And if you look at a simple poll of Wisconsinites, most Wisconsinites will tell you in a poll or just asking them on the street that, yeah, we don't think maps are fair. And we want fair maps. That's what most Wisconsinites will tell you. On the text line from WAUK, someone gives us a hell yes, quote unquote, in terms of, are you happy that the Supreme Court of Wisconsin is moving quickly, saying now they will take up this gerrymandered maps case in a couple of weeks on the 21st of November. And this is the kind of issue, again, nobody's asking me, nobody's paying me to consult for them. But I think this is exactly the type of issue that candidates for office in 2024 should be talking about. Fair maps. And I really hope that should the Supreme Court find they're unconstitutional and redraw them, I hope that they actually draw legitimate fair maps. Because if they try to, you know, make up for the former gerrymandered maps in favor of Republicans, if they somehow try to, quote unquote, make up for that by making the new maps really lean in favor of Democrats, I think that would be a huge mistake and an overreach.
That will just feed the narrative of, well, the Democrats would do it too. They're the ones who are trying to control you. That's why we got to stop them.
Right. I totally agree with that. And remember, just because the maps could be redrawn fairly and kind of at 50-50 as close as you can get it, that doesn't necessarily mean that Democrats would win control of both houses of the legislature. Depends on candidates. Depends on geography of the new maps. But if you have a truly fair map drawn, and people say, well, what, Todd, what do you, believe me, I've had enough experience with maps and bills and legislative, I can tell you whether the map is fair in about 3 minutes after I see it. You say, well, how can you do that? Because if a fair map is going, the district lines of both Assembly and Senate are going to be as close to square as possible. You're not going to have all these snake type of lines. You're not going to have, you know, individual islands out there. Because that's what you have now in some districts where it's individual islands. That's not what you want. So once I see the maps, I'm going to be able to tell real quick whether they've been drawn fairly or not. What say you? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Back with your calls. We see you on the lines. Do not go anywhere, as our friend Matt Flynn would say. Back with your calls after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Your home is the place where you know your loved ones are secure. But the things that keep your home protected can't keep pests at bay. That's where Raid comes in. For 60 years, Raid scientists have worked to protect people around the world with trusted research, ingredients, testing standards, and product efficacy. Raid seeks to create a better future for all. Especially the ones you love most. Raid. Protection for all.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome back in along, Mr. Zommers. Glad to have you along with us on a Tuesday, November 7th, talking about this breaking news that apparently the Supreme Court of Wisconsin will hear the redistricting case the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, 2 weeks away, November 21st. That'll give people a lot to chew on, literally and figuratively, over the Thanksgiving Day table. Are you excited? Are you happy that the Supreme Court is moving quickly on this? And what's your gut tell you how this is going to come out? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Thanks for holding. We go to Merrimack. Jack in Merrimack, what say you?
Well, first thing I want to say is it's a good thing that they are going to hear it as soon as possible, and hopefully we'll come to a decision as soon as possible thereafter. It seems to me very likely that the current maps are going to be overturned, and of course, that's exactly what the Republican legislature is going to fight like crazy against. They're going to take this probably all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States if the Supreme Court will take it. Now, the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court has already said that this is a states' rights issue, so hopefully they'll just toss it back. Mm-hmm. But my feeling is that those maps will be overturned, and it's something that absolutely has to happen. And the major reason, a lot of people, you definitely want fair maps. They want to be represented by people that they really, truly do have a choice about. However, the biggest problem I see is the fact that this legislature has been in place for a dozen years. They gerrymandered themselves in place starting shortly after Scott Walker took over, arguably illegally got the governorship. And they've had it for so long that they're pretty arrogant, and they think they can do about anything and there's no consequence. And most people, I think, once they realize what's happened, are going to be really, really tired of their so-called representatives having no consequence at all for their actions or inaction. Mm-hmm. In the last 3 years, they've been off two-thirds of the year at least twice out of the last 3 years.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my point.
I appreciate it. I always appreciate you calling in. Appreciate your point. I agree. It's going to be very interesting to see how this all falls out. Hopefully the new maps, if we get new maps, I agree. I think we probably will. I hope that they are even and as close to fair as possibly could be. Certainly more fair than they are now. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. News that the Supreme Court of Wisconsin plans to hear this redistricting case in a couple of weeks on November 21st. What are your thoughts? Let's go down to beautiful Waukesha. Andrew in Waukesha, appreciate you listening. What say you?
Well, am I on the air?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. You just kind of clicked me in there, but thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, of course.
Look, you know, I hear words like fairness and gerrymander, and I don't think, you know, people, those are emotionally charged words. Let's talk about the numbers of people in a district. Let's talk about representation, okay? We haven't had any new assembly seats or Senate seats created for almost half a century. Okay, there are like 60,000 people per assembly district. On average, over the history of our state, it's been about 24,000. You know, I don't think the maps are unfair. I think that they are the way they are because of population distribution. Okay, that's not anybody, you know, gerrymandering, doing conspiracy theory. If the Democratic Party wanted to make a real solid case to the people of Wisconsin that something needs to be done with the maps, why not advocate for more seats being created in the Capitol? But they don't do that. Why don't they do that? Because at the end of the day, you just want a political advantage yourselves. And I can't stand listening to people just berate Republicans for how evil and immoral they are when you just want to do the same things yourself. Create more seats, create more representation, and there will not be a problem with gerrymandering.
I appreciate your call, Andrew, but I personally don't belong to any party. I was a Republican for 30 years. I left in 2011. I don't belong to any party. I don't.
Who's bringing the case? Who's bringing the case to the court?
Well, sure, it's a liberal Democratic side. But my point is, I was actually there working for a Republican state senator in 2011, and I can tell you firsthand that the redistricting was done specifically to favor Republicans. I saw that firsthand.
Look, Republicans don't want more seats in Madison either. Okay, this is an idea that I came up with when I realized just how long it's been. And this is something when you talk about the federal level is where our country has grown exponentially, and we haven't added any more congressional seats. And we need more representation. We argue about fair maps and gerrymandering when the real issue is, are you being represented in the Capitol, in the seats of power? And we're not. That's the problem.
Well, I would argue that people, I would agree that a lot of people are not being represented. I give you case in point, Howard Markline of Southwest Wisconsin, a seat I know very well, my former boss's seat, who is now the chairman, co-chairman of the Joint Finance Committee, Republican, who goes out to his district and doesn't even communicate with his constituents because he doesn't feel a need to. When a Democratic representative of the Joint Finance Committee asked, why aren't we giving tax rate increases to farmers versus school choice folks, he doesn't even respond. So the people out in Southwest Wisconsin aren't being represented by the person they have because it's so gerrymandered. He doesn't have to rely on being a middle of the road person or to get any sort of independent vote because it's so gerrymandered. All he has to do is rely on very conservative right-wing people to vote for him.
See, again, but you use a word like gerrymander and people will assign their own. The problem is his district is too big. The problem is he has a core of voters that can be bought off with ads and with persuasion, and the district is too big. And there's no way for the steam to build up and for a challenger to rise because, oh, by the way, we also got rid of something called committee men and women. Political parties are supposed to have committees that are on our ballot that we get to vote for on our ballot September of odd years. It's in the statutes. Look at statute 8.17. Those are just being ignored. Doesn't matter if it's a Democratic Party, Republican Party, Libertarian Party. Our parties right now are run like private country clubs. It's not gerrymandering. And you whip up people to get all angry at the other side when the fact is this is a systematic problem of no representation in what's supposed to be the greatest democracy in the world.
I appreciate your point of view, Andrew. You're always welcome to call in. I always give you time to do it. One more question, just because I'm genuinely interested from people that feel opposite of me. Do you think it's odd that, Andrew left. I wanted to ask him the question. I find it odd that you know, Democrats get over 55% of the vote in Wisconsin on, you know, when you add up all the votes for assembly or for Senate, you know, Democrats get majority of votes, but yet Republicans win over 60% of the districts. I find that odd. I don't think that's a matter of districts being too big. I think it's a matter of districts being drawn in a certain way. And again, I was in the room. I saw it happen. You know, I can attest firsthand. I testified in federal court actually one time on other things. So, you know, I appreciate the point of view. I just don't agree based on my personal experience. Back with more after this. Do not go anywhere. Take you to your phone calls. Tell you some odd predictions that never happened. What's worse? And big news in Milwaukee music scene after this.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Members of the United Auto Workers in Wisconsin will soon vote on new contracts with America's largest automakers. The union and the companies have reached tentative deals for the next 4.5 years. General Motors workers in Hudson and Stellantis workers in Milwaukee are already back on the job, even though the Milwaukee facility is slated to close. Ford workers in Menominee never walked out. Former President Donald Trump leads President Biden in a new poll from the New York Times and Siena College. That survey has Trump leading in key battleground states like Wisconsin, as well as Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. That's despite facing dozens of criminal charges in 4 different cases. The survey polled about 600 registered voters in each of the 6 states. The presidential election is 1 year away. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman has announced a $32 million proposal to strengthen workforce development in the universities. The proposal would target key workforce divisions like engineering, nursing, and data science. The Board of Regents could approve the plan on Thursday before it advances to the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee and would annually allot $2.5 million each to UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee and $1 million to the other schools. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced a new non-state grant program to support infrastructure improvement and community development. Non-state organizations can apply for the grant program, and to be eligible, they will need to cover at least half the project cost from non-state revenue sources and be ready for construction. In the press release, Governor Evers stated the program will support local jobs and workers, bolster tourism and economies, and improve quality of life. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Brewers owner not happy with Craig Counsell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell deciding to accept an offer to become the manager of the Chicago Cubs, paying Counsell $8 million a year, making him the highest paid manager in baseball history. Now, Brewers owner Mark Antanasio let reporters know he was disappointed, saying, quote, Craig has lost us and our community. The next time Craig Counsell will be in AmFam Field is next May when the Cubs come to town to play the Brewers. NBA, the Bucks picked up a win in Brooklyn, beating the Nets 129-125. Giannis Antetokounmpo leading Milwaukee with 36 points and 12 rebounds. Men's college basketball, the Badgers beating Arkansas State 105-76 at the Kohl Center. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
I think defensively we got better at the start of the second half. It's not helpful when you got your more experienced guys on the bench in foul trouble, but I thought our guys off the bench gave us a great boost. We've thought that depth would help us, and here we are in game one, and it already showed.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is Civic Media. This is Civic Media.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 43. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered rain showers likely, 37. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 42.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
That was when the sun goes down. We'll be grooving when the sun goes down. We're feeling all right when the sun sinks down. Over the water, everything gets hotter when the sun goes down. Yeah.
Oh, a little Kenny Chesney for you on a Tuesday afternoon, November 7th. Now, 1:34. Keep it going, Mr. Zomers. This is fantastic news. For those that know, I'm a huge Kenny Chesney fan. I've seen him a couple of times in concert. And news today, Kenny Chesney and the Zac Brown Band will be at AmFam Field in Milwaukee coming up June 22nd, 2024, the same day, I believe, opening day as Summerfest in Milwaukee. Tickets will go on sale November 17th, coming up at brewers.com. So are you down? Are you down about Craig Council going to Chicago? Here is a way to make yourself feel better. Kenny Chesney will be at AmFam Field coming up November 17th. Tickets on sale November 17th. He's coming next year on June 22nd. Tickets available November 17th at brewers.com. No prices set yet. I could use me a little Kenny Chesney concert about now. And this is fantastic news. Because the thing about Kenny Chesney's music is that, you know, it's not hateful. It's hopeful. It makes you feel better. And it just puts you in a good vibe. And you could go out there with No Shoes Nation and tailgate at AmFam Field in June. It's going to be a beautiful day. Second longest day of the year, right? June 22nd. So I'm excited, Mr. Zomers.
Spend the second longest day of the year on beach time.
Yes, on beach. Absolutely. No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Kenny Chesney coming to Milwaukee next summer, June 22nd, along with the Zac Brown Band at AmFam Field. Again, tickets go on sale November 17th at brewers.com.
I have not had the opportunity to see Kenny Chesney, but I think that'd be a lot of fun because it's definitely, when I was pretty little, my mom played a lot of country on the radio. And in the 2000s, you know who was on country radio a lot? Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney. He's still, now he has his own network or radio channel on Sirius XM, No right. Shoes Radio. So I listen, when I'm not listening to Civic Media, I listen to a lot of No Shoes Radio on Sirius XM. This will begin, Mr. Zomers, a countdown to see if Toddy can book Kenny Chesney on the show. What are the chances?
We've got a while to strategize about how best to contact his people and what we think will improve our odds.
Well, see, there's not a whole lot I wouldn't do to book Kenny Chesney. It doesn't have to be a long time. 10 minutes, 15, I'll take it. And we'll just sit in the parking lot in a golf cart. We'll chat. Or if even he's a big cold water or ice bath guy, I would even get in an ice bath to interview Kenny Chesney.
That'd be pretty great.
Anyway, Kenny Chesney coming to Milwaukee next summer, June 22nd at AmFam Field. Time now for another edition of What's Worse.
Then of course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Like I said, Mr. Zomers, what's worse? Here is our question for today. Call in and tell us from the home office, what's worse, Ron DeSantis's boots or Crocs? Ron DeSantis's boots or Crocs? What's worse? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can also text us at the Civic Media app. You can download it on your Apple or Android device. What's worse? We have a little fun once in a while. It doesn't really mean anything, but just you're not going to win anything. But what's worse? Ron DeSantis's boots or Crocs? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. And if you're not familiar, this was a big story a week or so ago. And I didn't really go down this road because it didn't really mean a lot to me. But, and by the way, Ron DeSantis, if you haven't heard, if you forgot, he's still running for the presidential nomination of the Republican side, governor of Florida. Goofy as a jaybird, but he's still in the race. In fact, the Republican debate, the next one in Miami tomorrow night on NBC. But Ron DeSantis, so Ronnie DeSantis got in a little trouble, or not trouble, but apparently the man, he's very short, and that's fine. But the man, he's very short. He apparently, people say he puts lifts in his cowboy boots in order to make him look higher, taller.
So he's got like big platform boots, basically. Yes.
He has big platform. I mean, and honest to God, if he put a wig on, he couldn't even campaign in his own state because it would qualify for a drag show. So that's how much of a platform his boots have.
You know, we actually got a text about that very thing. Cam from Nina texts in, Crocs are always worse. Drag queens can make Ron's boots look good, but no one makes Crocs look good.
Nicely done, Cam from Nina. Absolutely nicely done. To my point, right? I mean, yeah, he has these cowboy. And again, you know, I know there. I've spent a little time in Florida, lived there for about 8-9 months for a brief time for a job. And there are interior Florida. It's very southern. I mean, we're talking, you know, very southern, very rural southern interior Florida. Now, from the coast, about 10 miles inland, it's a lovely place for the most part. But, you know, there's not a lot of cowboys, quote unquote, in Florida. But Ron DeSantis wears these cowboy boots to make himself look taller. So what's worse, Ron DeSantis's boots or Crocs? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. One of my favorite callers, Rico in Rock County. Rico, thanks for calling in. What's worse?
Hey, Todd, how you doing? Hey, this one's easy. The only thing that could be possibly worse than Ron DeSantis in his high-heeled cowboy boots would be Ron DeSantis in his high-rise Crocs.
In Crocs. In Ron DeSantis in high-rise Crocs. I love that.
I love that.
I mean, that would be a sight, right? And what? I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, I don't judge people on their physical stature. I mean, doesn't it just seem like the guy is just not comfortable in his own skin, Rico?
Yeah, but I'd make Crocs bright orange to match his jumpsuit he might have someday. That's all I got.
Thanks, Rico. Appreciate you. Take care, my friend. Rico down in Rock County. What's worse, Ron DeSantis's boots with his lifts or Crocs? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789.
Got another text in from Carolyn from Heartland who says, ugly. DeSantis's ugly boots are so much worse, hands down.
I'd agree with that. I've got a pair of cowboy boots that are well worn in. They do not. And look, I used to be 5'10 and a half, but apparently I'm only 5'9 these days. I'm starting to shrink. I don't know. That's all. But my youngest godson and I, we were living together for a while. He finished up his last semester of college here at UW-Madison. And one night, I think perhaps over a beverage, I said, well, you're a tall guy. You gotta be like 6'1", don't you? And he's like, no, I'm like 5'11". I said, you're not 5'11". I'm 5'10 and a half. You're at least an inch or two, you know, it was less measured. So we got out the old measuring tape and put like a mark, you know, on the door frame. It turned out like 5'9", maybe 5'9 and a half on a good day.
Blame the measuring tape.
I think so. So anyway, my point is I'm no like 6'3" person, 6'4" person, but I mean, can't you just be comfortable in your own skin instead of like putting lifts in your boots? I don't know.
You know, I think if that's part of your style, that's fair. Like if it was a drag queen thing or like it can be a style choice
that you make,
but for him, just like with all the other things and the makeup and the weird, like, cheek or lip inserts that he has.
Wait a minute. Lip inserts? You're telling me that Ron DeSantis has lip inserts?
I remember hearing about that.
You dreamt that. There's no way.
It's
like
possible.
Like Botox?
No, like...
Like he wears a prosthetic?
Yeah.
In his lips?
You know, this must have been about somebody else. Or I did dream it. But you know what? I thought that was Ron DeSantis.
That would be breaking news.
All right. But yes, for him, it seems like a confidence issue.
I think it is. What's worse, Ron DeSantis's boots or Crocs? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789.
Although we may need to issue a correction. Cindy from Wausau says they are not cowboy boots. They're big floppy Bozo the Clown shoes.
Well, okay. They kind of look like that sometimes, but technically they're supposed to be cowboy boots, I guess. And also somebody from MDX listening on WMDX here, Madison says, did you see the curl in his boots? His feet look like the witch that had the house land on her. Now, this is true. I have seen those pictures, and the ends of his cowboy boots, they do curl up. And this is what has led people to believe that he has lifts, because his toes only go down about halfway in the boot. And so the toes curl up because his feet are so small. And that's fine. I have no problem with it, but be chill about it. Right. Also, Cam from Nina says, it's just projection. He is not happy with how he looks. So he ticks off everyone else for it. Like people who buy large trucks, but never haul things. Now, I have a Dodge Ram 1500, but I do haul things.
I can personally attest to that. You have hauled enormous TVs for Civic Media, if nothing else.
Also, my kayaks.
You have use for it.
I do have use for it. Larry is on the road. Larry, we appreciate you calling in. What's worse, Ron DeSantis's boots or Crocs?
Hello again, guys.
Hey, Larry, what's worse?
Hey, Ron DeSantis in his boots, and there's a reason.
Give it to me.
Because the boots come with Ron DeSantis and the Crocs don't.
Hey, I'll take that. That's good. All right. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate you calling in on the road. Well, there
Bye.
You go. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Well, see, these are just, nonsensical questions, but have a little fun with it. So you wanted me to let you know when we got the chicken story here. I want to get this in. So do we have any music for this? Are we introing it? What do we got? Here, a story about chickens. Here we go. This is not made up. This is an actual story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. Dateline Madison. Of all the things that your taxpayer money is going for, maybe this is the best. I don't know. Wisconsinites may soon have permission to raise a flock of chickens in their backyard if recently proposed legislation advances. The bill, which is currently being circulated for co-sponsorship, would require local governments to allow the keeping of up to 4 chickens, geese, ducks, quail, or guinea fowl for property owners. The bill notes that permits can be required, as can neighbor notifications. A ban on roosters, and specifications on where housing for the birds can be kept on the property. So this is a cockless bill. You cannot have cocks, only the hens in your property. All right, which automatically I'm not for it. But anyway, chickens can already be kept in several Wisconsin communities, including Madison, Milwaukee, and Wausau. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. So you could have a chicken.
I could have a chicken. But I don't fly that way. Wausau's chicken ordinance was passed in 2017. After months of debate, by the way, and delays by the Wausau City Council up there in Bull Falls, Radioland, including some council members asking if approving chickens meant residents would be asking to be kept keeping cows in their yard next. See, this is just like Rebecca Clayfish. If marriage equality, people want to marry clocks and tables. If you let chickens in, what's next? Cows? I mean, what are we, the dairy state? Back with your phone calls and more after this. 844-967-2789. It's the All Balls Show, at least for now, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's the budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 now before the hour of 2 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from the top of the news hour. And weather, followed by our friend and colleague Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, taking you to the front lines of history, history being made every minute of every day. Matt will take you there, give you the latest. I'm sure you will touch on this ongoing case in New York, the Trump case. Also, is happening in the Supreme Court today, a case regarding gun laws. Should people accused of and then convicted of domestic violence be allowed to keep their firearms? And of course, it's election day in many states, not in Wisconsin, but across America, Ohio, Virginia, Mississippi, others. And Matt will have all the latest from the front lines of history. Talking about something a little lighter here in Wisconsin right now, this new bill here in Wisconsin being circulated for co-sponsorship to allow, to mandate that anybody in Wisconsin can keep up to 4 chickens, geese, ducks, and other from in your backyard. Have your own chicken coop. The bill author, maybe we can get him on. This would be fantastic. Maybe this is the one Republican that would come on the show. Shea Stortwell, a Republican of Two Rivers, says the state measure is about empowering Wisconsinites to raise their own food if they choose to do so.
Republican of Two Rivers is right next to Manitowoc. Maybe really? I can just go up there and knock on the door and be like, hey, you want to talk about this? Want to talk about chickens?
Absolutely. I'd love to have them on. So it goes on to say, and of course, it does not authorize keeping a cow in your backyard. The measure is a partner bill to another piece of legislation that gives Wisconsinites the right to have a garden in their backyard. Now, wait a minute. Full stop here. Are there really places in Wisconsin that won't let you have a garden in your backyard?
I don't know. That sounds stupid.
I mean, I suppose if you live in some sort of really high-end neighborhood where there are covenants and this sort of thing, like, I mean, I wouldn't. Who wants to live in a neighborhood where you can't have a garden? Where gardens are outlawed.
I certainly don't.
I don't either. If there's a bill out there to support people being able to have gardens in their backyard, then I'm all for it. I mean, you have to go and set some high-end properties not to have a garden in your backyard. But anyway, so this piece of legislation, it's real. We're not making this up. It's being circulated for co-sponsorship to be able to raise up to 4 hens, chickens, no roosters, in your backyard. Sortwell, the representative himself, does not have chickens, but he does have geese and has raised ducks and guinea fowl in the past. He says, quote, It's a bill that says you have the basic human right to raise your own food, and we want to make sure people across Wisconsin actually have that right, unquote. The fowl bill, well, it's not too foul, but the fowl bill, was created in response to a high schooler reaching out to legislators after being told by a local governing board that she wouldn't be permitted to have chickens in the backyard of her mom's house. According to a local ordinance, there weren't enough acres, a rule that was applied to other larger farm animals as well. She argued it didn't seem fair that she couldn't have chickens, which aren't as large or as messy as other animals. In Milwaukee, residents are able to own up to 4 chickens as long as they secure a permit to do so. How do you feel about that, Mr. Summers?
You know, I think that it has some legs for sure, much like the chickens, I hope. And I think that it's, I don't know. I think there may have to be, okay, let me rephrase that. I could see this being the basis and cities opt out.
Right.
So I could see, like, if you are in downtown Madison, you can't have chickens. Right. Like, you just can't. Right. But if you're in Sun Prairie or, I don't know, McFarland or something.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a rural area or a certain suburb, I mean, and the only, I mean, the exception is, I guess, again, it goes back to these higher end neighborhoods, right? If you have a $700,000 house, you know, do you want some unruly chicken coops in the backyard?
I feel like that's a HOA matter. Like, if you're in a house that expensive, you're probably in a homeowners association, which that's a whole other can of worms.
And that's a question, like, for an attorney. You know, which one takes precedence? If you have a state bill, a state law that says that you can have it, it has to be permitted. I guess maybe local municipalities could set the parameters for the permit. But I do think it's interesting that this comes from a Republican because, again, Republicans for years have said, oh, let local people decide. We don't want things coming out of Madison and Washington. And now they're mandating chickens.
I don't know. Maybe they were frustrated that local places just weren't taking this up or didn't treat it seriously. I don't know. Because this is a serious thing, you know, raising your own food.
Raising your own food, right. Are you pro chicken or anti chicken? We should have gone to this earlier. It's a great story, I think.
I think so. I mean, I think I'm pro chicken.
You're pro chicken? Let it fly. I'm pro chicken.
I think, again, as long as you require permits, because otherwise people might just have chickens in their lawn and be like, wait, did I need a fence or a coop?
Well, and this is a whole other point, economic development, right? There's a place in Paoli, or that there used to be. That has, like, these are very high-end chicken coops, like designer type of chicken coops. They're not just some little deal. These are like really high-end, nice chicken coops. But then in the winter, if you try to board your chicken in the winter, all the water freezes and this sort of thing.
Right.
Not fun. My sister and I had a chicken growing up for a brief time. I can't remember whether my granddad bought it for us in a farm market, for a flea market, and we came home with it in a box, and we took it downstairs because we knew my mom would not be happy.
And then bought a chicken without your parents knowing?
Yeah. Well, my granddad did, I think. And we took the chicken in the basement in a cardboard box, and it was down there for, I can't remember, my sister could tell you, for, I don't know, 3-4 days, until finally mom figured out something was going on. It was like chirpy. It was still like it was Fluffy. The name of the chicken was Fluffy. We named it Fluffy. Well, anybody who raises chickens or knows, it doesn't take long for the baby chicken to go from not fluffy to molting feathers.
Yes, definitely.
And it was don't keep a chicken in a cardboard box in your basement. Just don't.
This is why we need permits for chickens, I guess.
Exactly the point. This is why I think this piece of legislation is good. Let the chickens be outed. Let the chickens live who they are. Be free. Be free, chickens.
As long as they're not male.
Well, anti-male chicken bill right here.
I don't think that's the point, but.
No, it's not. Great show today. Lots of fun. Appreciate Luke Mathers being here. Appreciate all the callers, all the listeners, Mr. Zommers as well. And of course, you for listening and calling in. You are what make this program spectacular. And my best 2 hours each and every day is spent with you. We will be back tomorrow. All new show, all new guests, all new what's worse. Join us then. Stay tuned now for Matt Flynn Direct across the Civic Media Radio Network. A great show. Do not go anywhere. We'll see you tomorrow. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging on your drum.
Banging on your drum. And they will hear you.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Timeout.
All right. Good.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.